Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, why some local hospitals don't have malpractice insurance, and then why one state may actually succeed in successfully, effectively banning abortions, even though you can't do that officially under Roe versus Wade. First, the local hospitals without malpractice insurance. Here is New York Times reporter Anamona Hartikolis, who wrote this story up over the weekend for the paper. Hi, Anamona. Welcome back.
Hi, Brian. Thank you.
So let's start with an example. Wyckoff Heights Medical Center. It's one of those so-called self-insured hospitals relying on special funds set aside in the case of lawsuits instead of actual malpractice insurance. You found that it had $50,000, a laughably small amount, in a malpractice fund as of 2009.
Correct, yeah. Well, and the next year, when you look at the consolidated financial report, there's the number zero in the malpractice trust fund slot. So they had $0 set aside a year later. They drained their fund. So they had no money at all, and they were not unique.
If you're running a hospital, how do you make the calculation not to have malpractice insurance?
Well, so this is an interesting question that people weighed in on differently. But basically, you know, you're required to get insurance if you drive a car. New York State requires that. So we're all familiar with the concept of insuring in case you have an accident. So, you know, hospitals make mistakes too, but there is no state requirement that they buy insurance. The decision is left up to them. So by self-insuring, what they're doing is kind of like, I might say, you know, I have a bike, but I'm not going to go to the trouble of insuring it. I'll just pay for it if something happens. And that's what they decide to do. And the reason they decide to do it, basically, is because they don't have the money. They are so financially distressed that they don't have the money to pay the insurance premiums. Now, they make other arguments as well, which we can go into, but that's the fundamental reason.
So for those who don't like the individual mandate to own insurance, this is life without the individual mandate for hospitals. Any doctors or nurses or hospital staff listening right now want to chime in on this? You can just give your first name or somebody else's name or no name at all. As you're hearing about these New York City hospitals with limited or no malpractice insurance, what are you thinking about your line of work? Any patients want to weigh in who've ever filed a malpractice suit and maybe discovered that your hospital was not insured? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So are there actual cases, Anamota, of people who've had some kind of horrible malpractice committed upon them, who've then taken the hospital to court, only to find, sorry, they don't have any pockets with which to pay you, from which to pay you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I spoke to a bunch of malpractice attorneys who have clients who are in this situation more or less, and I also spoke to hospital officials. And what you might say secondary motivation for not having malpractice insurance on the part of the hospitals is, as one hospital guy said to me, insurance is a lawsuit magnet. And as another hospital guy said to me, yeah, you could see it as a strategy because when people know you have money, they are more likely to sue. Now, on the patient side, the point that you were raising, what happens is something bad happens. You feel that you should be compensated. You feel maybe that the hospital should be punished. A couple of things are happening here. The hospital's not going to be punished by having its
punished, or
rate
just that
increased.
You should be compensated. I
or
mean, you know, you go in to have
you
your wart removed,
yeah,
and you come out with spinal paralysis, and something's
got
to happen.
Right, right, exactly. So the hospitals are arguing, according to the lawyers and their clients, that, you know, you can sue us, but we just don't have any money to pay you, so you're not going to get anywhere. And this is a real disincentive, unfortunately, to the lawyers who, you know, want their clients to get paid and also want to get paid. And sometimes they've worked out agreements over the long term, but going forward with a hospital in a precarious position, you have to be very careful that that hospital isn't going to default on its payments over the long term or go bankrupt, and you know, you become one of the unsecured creditors if there's no money in escrow for your case.
Here is Tony in Hackensack calling as somebody who works in insurance. Hi, Tony. Thanks for chiming in.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
So the issue of self-insurance is one that's kind of interesting. The type of organization that should appropriately and sort of responsibly pursue self-insurance is the outfit that has cash on the books, cash on hand, has secure revenue flows, and has the ability to absorb a loss when it happens. The idea that hospitals that are financially strained have the ability to self-insure is almost ludicrous, because these are exactly the types of people who do not have the ability to pay for that loss when a tragic accident or malpractice situation takes place.
Right, especially if they're saying they're not buying the insurance because they're so strapped for cash. Tony, I get your point. I'm going to leave it there for time. But in a worst-case scenario, Anamona, what happens if a hospital is forced into bankruptcy by a judgment, and has it happened?
Well, then you fall into line, and you're one of the people they owe money to. And, you know, I guess there's an order of priority. So you take your number and you wait your turn.
It could also be costly to their bondholders, according to your article, including some bonds backed by the state. So mm-hmm. That's kind of the compensation fund of last resort.
Well, here's the idea there. In particular, these what are called distressed hospitals, they've really been kept on life support by New York State, which has issued bonds at various times to keep them going. And those bonds are, in fact, backed by the state, so that if the hospitals go bankrupt, the state or even if they don't, if the hospitals go into default, which has happened, the state then has to pay the bondholders. And in the worst case scenario, you could have the state legislature passing an appropriation to pay the debt service on those bonds.
David in the Bronx calling as someone who works for a hospital. Hi, David. Thanks.
Hi. I didn't hear the beginning of the story, and I just started to skim the New York Times article. I don't know if you've mentioned any specific hospitals. I do work for a hospital. I'm very familiar with New York State malpractice system, and I've also started a program actually to reduce the incidence of malpractice related to failure to communicate test results, which accounts for about $5 billion in claims annually in the U.S. I do know that HHC, Health and Hospitals Corporation, self-insures.
That's the city hospitals.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
My understanding of that system is that they do pay out quite a bit. It may not be the most effective way to go. We've been researching, actually, the instance of what's known as failure to communicate, and we found that claims related to failure to communicate actually account for, as I said, about 7 to 8% of all malpractice claims, which is significant, affecting hospitals. We've figured out that with these new electronic systems, hospitals can save up to $1 million annually in their liability exposure, because this has happened in almost any hospital you would ask, that there be a test result and it's not reported, or the result doesn't get to the right person.
That's an interesting story, and I guess the big picture there is that hospitals, whether they have insurance or not, are always looking for ways to improve their systems so that they are less vulnerable to liability suits. So, David, good example. Thank you very much. We're almost out of time with Anamona Hartikolous, New York Times correspondent who wrote up the kind of eye-opening story the other day about local hospitals that carry no malpractice insurance or are only partially insured. And the list was kind of surprising. So before you go, Interfaith Medical Center in Bed-Stuy, not that well known around the city, Kingsbrook Jewish Medical Center in Prospect Lefferts Gardens, Wyckoff Heights Medical Center in Bushwick. There are 12 others that are what you call partially self-insured, including Lenox Hill Hospital on the Upper East Side, one of the elite hospitals in the city, Jamaica Hospital Medical Center in Queens, New York Hospital in Queens, and you listed St. Vincent's, which, of course, closed after going bankrupt in 2010. Maybe we should call it the Luxury Condominiums, formerly known as St. Vincent's Hospital. But what ties this list together, and why is Lenox Hill on it?
Well, Lenox Hill was taken over recently by North Shore LIJ, a larger, or became part of that system. So although Lenox Hill is a, you know, boutique hospital where people on the Upper East Side like to go, that does not mean that it was necessarily in the best financial condition. So I think what ties the list together is, you know, these were all some, as indicated by North Shore LIJ taking over, these were all hospitals under some stress.
Should patients ask the question, in your opinion, after reporting this story, before signing up for surgery somewhere or for any admission?
That is such a good question, you know.
And, are you insured?
And, yeah, you would never think to ask that. I would never have thought to ask that. But obviously you should, because it's an indication of so much else. It's an indication of, you know, they're throwing everything off the lifeboat. It's an SOS. So, yeah, you kind of want to know that.
Anna Mona Hartikolas from the New York Times, thank you so much.
You're welcome.